Good morning, church family. Welcome, welcome. We don't all normally dress this casually, but we're having a barbecue after church, so we hope you all can join us on the back deck over behind the parsonage right after service. We're so happy to see everybody. We have our full worship team out today. Yay! So, I've been cooking for 2 days, and the only time that I notice that it stresses me out is when I'm missing an ingredient. And then I'm like, oh no, can I substitute something, or do I have to go to the store again? And when one of us is missing, it's like a missing ingredient. So each one of you guys here adds something to the recipe of God, and we're so happy that you're all here today. God is so good, and he's greatly to be praised, and we get to. It's such an honor, and some people don't. So with that in mind, could you just break free and just let Jesus know how much you love him this morning? Father, we're so thankful this morning that we get the opportunity not only to come in freedom, God, but to come with our hearts laid bare, open, with love. Jesus, you are great. We love you, Lord. And we're thankful, God, that we get to stand and worship you today. Father, we just pray that you would be blessed and honored by our worship. Blessed and honored. We give you glory this morning, Lord. Would you stand with me? We give you glory this morning, God. You are worthy, Lord, and we worship you. We love you, Lord. We sing a new song to you.
Thank you. Most High, holy, Thank you. Together, glorifying all of who you are. You are King, your friend, your Savior, your husband, you're everything that we need, Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord, I pray that every heart is just transformed today, Jesus, that as they're in your presence, God, they begin to receive and know who they are in you, God, and know whose they are, Jesus. If you have something that's just, if you have this thing that feels like maybe it's, you just need to come up and just give it to him, I just invite you right now to come up and just give whatever that is to him. And let him turn it to glory. Yeah. because he loves you and you know who you are. You're burning so heavily right now, but God's just saying that's his way of telling you, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. So much so that I'm willing to take on this burden with you and walk through this valley with you. Sing that again. And as we do that, I just want you guys to really just enter in to all of who he is and take advantage of what it is that he gives us, this gift of everlasting love, this gift of everlasting life and peace that surpasses understanding. And just allow him to shower you in that peace.
Let him resurrect you.
Welcome to One Life Family Worship. There's a lot of new faces out in the crowd, which is really exciting. Just want to let all of you guys know that today after service, if you don't already know, that we have a barbecue that will be on the, if you go out these doors in the back here, the patio that's like right in front of it. Just go out there. Please feel free to come and eat and fellowship. There will be a bounce house for kids that should be set up. So you guys can enjoy your time, get to know you a little bit. We'd love to see you there. And, yeah. Is there any other announcements?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so One Life. Oh. Gotcha. Okay, oh, yes, summer worship nights. How could I forget? Once a month starting next month, the second week of every month, June, July, and August as of right now, we're going to be hosting some worship nights, and it's just where you get to come from 6 to 8. The first one will be at our place off 6404 Appleview Way, for those of you who need to know. We'll send that information out as it gets closer. But we'll just be there to fellowship, have some worship time, and just get to know each other in a more intimate way. And then, oh, PayPal. It's our friend. So olfw.net or onelifefamilyworship.org. If you guys feel led to give to the church, that's the place to do it. If you don't already give to the box, there's here if you have like cash or check and you prefer that way, or if you're a little bit more up to date, as I am not, you may use those sites and do the thing. I think it walks you through it. And if you feel led, you can give above and beyond. We have youth trips that we're wanting to do coming up. There's wanting to help re-roof the parsonage across the street to bless the pastors, things like that. So if you feel led, please know that you have ways, traditional and more current technological ways, for those of you who are advanced. I will. Okay. Oh, yeah. And also, for those of you who have youth, Monday nights, it's 6:30 to 8:30, right? At our place as well. If you want to know our address, come see me or the guy in the yellow shirt. We can give you our address, let you know. Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30, come and fellowship with us. We have a really good time, play some games, get to know Jesus. It's really fun. So, and without further ado, Moses. You want to come and pray for our government.
Good afternoon, everybody. You know, today I don't want to break the atmosphere. You know, it was a great worship service, you know, and we just got to continue in that. Pastor put in my heart, asked me if I could pray for the city and also for our government, you know. And I always start out, what a great time to live in, right? It's great. It's great. I'm a little glass half full kind of guy. You know, and I always say, you know, the light always shines at the darkest hour, right? Yeah. Amen. It's time to profess what we believe, but also put into action what we believe. You know, so it doesn't matter of our government policies, politics, or anything like that. We have been redeemed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. And nobody can take that peace from you. Nobody can, unless you willingly surrender it. It doesn't matter all the political turmoil, the garbage that you see around, family, anything. You're the only one who can surrender that peace in your heart. You're the only one. God loves each and every one of us. And with this, it's kind of a two-part prayer. I wanted to pray for this city. You know, you hear all the negatives of Yakima Valley, you hear Krakama, you hear, you know, we all heard them. Now I'm going to propose a question to you guys. Are you guys willing to surrender the city? Are you guys, our family lives here. Some have parents, some have children, some have grandchildren. We have kids here. Are you guys willing to surrender the city? Are we? We have the truth in us. Time to let your light shine. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for our valley. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of seeing the people in bondage out there. I'm tired of talking to them and seeing it. It's time to move, people. You may say, how? I know the world mocks us with our thoughts and prayers. They laugh because they think it's meaningless. But the Word of God teaches us to get in prayer. That's what moves God's heart. That's what moves God's people. You may say, well, I don't know what to do. First thing, just get in your prayer closet. Start praying. Start praying. You say, I don't know what to say. Get on your knees. He'll give you the words to say. He will. I guarantee you. It's happened to me. And I'm a hard head. Amen. You know, and one of the things that I'd always love about my mom, you know, every time I go visit her, she'd always remind me, we need to be praying for the leaders of this country. We need to be praying for the leaders of this country. It's biblical. Doesn't matter who's in power. It's biblical. It's our duty. It's what we need to do. To give them clear minds and guidance. Because the Word of God says that every leader was chosen by God. And they're put in that place, good or bad. Whether you agree with him or not, he was put in that place for that time. So in that two-part prayer, let's pray for our city. And I want it to be the Palm Springs of Yakima. Palm Springs of Washington. Let's go. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, thanking you, Lord, because of all the great movement that you're going to be doing in our city that you've done already. Heavenly Father, we just ask a special prayer for this, the Yakima City and the Yakima Valley, Lord. We put it in your hands, Lord Jesus. We come before you asking that you break every chain of bondage, Father God, that your people are feeling right now. We rebuke it and cast it back in the gates and back in hell, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for that peace that you've given us, Father God. Now let our light shine so other people can see it, Father God. And they may be drawn to it as you drew people towards you, Father God. Heavenly Father, we just ask this right now in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father God. We see the burden. We see your people, Father God. We need your guidance, Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord, more than ever. We thank you, God, for this peace that you've given us, Father God. And when that moment arises, Father God, I just ask that you just give us the words so we can share it to others, Father God, as someone shared it with us at one time when we first believed. Heavenly Father, we just ask for boldness right now to walk in truth, Father God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Father God. We just want to continue to share it, Father God. And we want to pray for the government right now, Father God, from our local leaders all the way to our state to our national level, Father God. You have placed people in place right now for this such time as this, Lord Jesus. We know that, Lord. We just ask for a special prayer and guidance in guiding this country, Father God. We are said to be a country of to be represented by the people, Father God. As a people of God, we stand up right now, and we ask to be counted, Lord Jesus, for this country, Lord. That we may continue to move ahead, Father God, in your word. And that we may continue to share your word, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do in this country also, Father God. And we thank you, Father God. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Ready to go? Awesome. Check, check. So good. Moses just stealing all the thunder. All the thunder. All right, so we're going to talk about my friend Jesus. This is kind of dovetailing off of Pastor Gay spoke a few Sundays ago. And if any kids want to go back to the back children's room, my wife, Miss Nancy, right there, will lead you. So any children, you're able to go with her, and she'll take you and have a great time back there. So. But yeah, I'm going to dovetail off of what Gay spoke. If you weren't here or you missed it, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Gaylene shared a really powerful message about Jesus, essentially. But the key thing she said, and this is something that I took away, is how she kept saying this phrase that I knew Jesus as my Savior, but not as my friend. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. Like, I see Jesus as, you know, maybe we grew up in church, or maybe we went to different type of churches, right? And I see Jesus as the guy that's on the cross in front of the church, right? Or I see Jesus as, you know, the guy that is looking at me and judging me and making sure that he knows that I'm watching you, and, you know. But we fail to see him as a friend. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, having really good friends is really, really important. Having friends in my life that are for me, that are in my corner, are really, really important. Now, the great thing is that Jesus is that friend. And today I hope to give you some encouragement and maybe send you on a journey where if that's not who Jesus is to you, that you would begin going on that journey. Because yes, he is your Savior. Yes, we need to recognize that Jesus came to earth for a purpose, to die for my sins and your sins and everybody before us and everybody after us. And all of that is so important. And we also need to recognize that there's a friendship side of Jesus that he wants us to come into. I was just thinking today about the type of friend that I've been. And if you know me, if you've been around me for any amount of time, I like to play practical jokes. I like to joke with people. Like, that is my love language, right? If I could joke with you, we're going to be good friends. If I can't joke with you, we'll still be good friends. There's just a level of me that you're not going to get to that you'll be so blessed by if you just let it happen, okay? And I remember in high school, I was always the friend that I would convince. We had a friend named Greg, and Greg was very much a follower. And Greg would just do the things, like he thought he was doing things like by his own omission, if you will. But it mainly was because he was influenced by us. And I remember I would send Greg, you know, one of our friends would be taking a shower and be like, Greg, you should go in there and turn the cold water on Ricky, right? Like, I didn't want to do it, but I want to see what happens when you do it, right? That's the type of friend that I was. And most of the time, the jokes were funny. Most of the time, nobody got hurt. Most of the time, nobody got, there was no traumatic experiences. But then a couple of years ago, now you think like, Eric, you're in your mid-30s, like, grow up, stop doing that. I just don't know how. It's a sickness. I don't know. And this was a few years ago. I get a text from a friend, and she says, hey, I want to play this joke on my husband. I want people to start. This is April Fool's, mind you. Which, by the way, for people that joke around a lot, April Fool's is kind of like it's almost like a day off. Like, people are expecting it. I'm not going to play jokes on this day, right? So I get a call from a friend or a text. She says, hey, I want to play a joke on a friend or my husband. And I want people to text him and say, hey, I want to buy your car. I saw it was on sale online. And that was the joke, right? And so all day my friend's getting text messages from numbers he doesn't have. Hey, your car, the 2009 black Acura, right? It's for sale. And he's like, why is my car listed on Craigslist or whatever, right? And I wanted to be a part of this joke, but I was like, obviously he has my number. I don't know how to do that. So there's an app. Okay. There's a great app that, gives you a second phone number. And so I was like, I'll use it. So I play the joke on him. It's funny. I was like, who else can I mess with today? So I text my friend Andy, who lives over on the East Coast, and I pretend like I'm somebody in class and that I don't like her. And then it's ha ha ha. And I tell her, ha ha, it's me. Just kidding. Right. I text my friend Zach, and I'm like pretending to be he's a single guy. So pretending to be some girl that from his past. Right. And all this stuff and like getting him going. And then finally I'm like, ha ha, it's me. Right. And then I do one more. Okay. And you know that saying, like, quit while you're ahead? Like, this is the perfect example, right? So Nancy has this younger sister. A lot of you know her, Valerie. She was just here a few weeks ago. She lives in Texas now. And I thought, I'm going to text Valerie from this new number, and I'm going to pretend that I'm somebody in church that is not very happy with her, right? So I text her, and I don't remember. I was being most ridiculous, right? I was like, you're such a poopy head. Like, I mean, it was just beyond mature, okay? Beyond immature, really. So she doesn't really engage with me, which was kind of a bummer. She doesn't engage with it. So I'm like, all right. But then I start getting text messages on this phone number from other numbers. So what had happened was she got the text message and she's like, I don't know who this is. And she told her friends, and then her friend started to text me. So now I'm messing with them. All right. So, like, mind you, I'm at work and I'm getting paid to do this. And so, but it was a great day. Right. And so I'm messing with them and nothing ever comes of it. Right. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to just let this like settle. And then maybe, you know, I'll tell her, I don't think much of it. Right. I go to bed. Day ends, I go to bed. Next day, I wake up, and it's my day off. So I'd slept in. And I wake up, and I grab my phone. And Nancy's been up, and everybody's been up. And I grab my phone, and I'm looking at it. And we have a family text with me and my wife and Nancy's parents and siblings and their spouses and so on. And it's a new family text. Like a new group text was created. And I'm looking at it, and it's blown up, like, 20 texts are in this message, and I'm reading it, and I scroll to the top, and it says, hi, this is Val. So yesterday I was being harassed, and I changed my phone number. And so I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm reading, and Nancy's sister, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? You know, me mom is like, are you okay? Nancy, my wife, who doesn't know, is texting, I'm so sorry this happened to you. Is there anything you need? And I'm just sitting on my bed like, I'm just like, what did I do? What did I do? And I have this moment where I'm like, I could just say nothing and this will go away. So I go downstairs and go into the kitchen, and Nancy's making breakfast and stuff. And I sit on the stairs and she's like, hey, good morning. Are you okay? And I just like look at her. I go, it was me. And she's like, no, it wasn't Eric. And I'm like, I didn't even say anything like bad. Yeah. So long story short, Valerie now has a new number that she had chained, that she had for like a decade or something. It'd be a long time since she had that number. I think it's hilarious. And I called her and I was so very scared because, you know, she could be scary sometimes. And I just said, hey, Val. She's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, so that was me. And she laughed and laughed, and it was great. And it all worked out for the better. And I have not learned my lesson, but I just know that maybe that's the line. So that's the type of friend I am. Okay. Jesus is fun, but Jesus is not a friend that's going to is going to send you down a road like that. Well, my point is that Jesus is a friend we can depend on. Jesus is a friend that's in your corner, okay? Jesus not only is, but desires so passionately to have a friendship with you. You ever meet somebody that you're like, I like them. I want to be friends with them, right? Like, you're almost like, this is, like, I remember when I first met my friend Nick. And I don't know what it was about him. I was like intimidated by him. Now that I know him, I'm like, Nick's such a nice guy. Like, why was I ever, but like, I was like, I want him to be my friend. I want to give him my number and I want to hang out with him and I want our families to connect. And since it has, but when you first meet somebody that you're like, I want to be their friend, like that's Jesus when it comes to us. Like, you think about it, Jesus looks at his children and he says, hey, I want to be friends with you. Like, I, and you may think like, me? Jesus, do you know what I've done in life? Do you know where I've been? Do you know my thoughts? Do you know what I just did yesterday? Do you know what I just said to my wife this morning? You want to be friends with me? And Jesus wants to be friends with us. He desires a passionate friendship with us. You know, my kids, now, whether you agree with this or not, this is how my wife and I have what we've cultivated in our home. We've cultivated a home where literally our kids are our best friends. Like, I want to hang out with my kids. I want to do things with my kids. We have inside jokes. We watch movies. We watch shows. Like our we have this relationship with our friend, with our children where it goes beyond just like, I'm dad, you do what I say, and hopefully you make it out of this house alive, right? Like, it's like, no. Like, I'm your friend, and we're going to do life together. Now, there is a healthy amount of, I'm also dad. And they very much know that when that line's been crossed. So before you even think like, well, that's unhealthy, they know what's up, okay? But my friends are truly my best friends. I want to read this verse. You guys okay if we read some Bible in church? All right, so we're going to read 17 verses today. This is John 15, 1 through 17 in the NIV. This is Jesus, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. When we step into friendship with Jesus, we then bear fruit. That is the ingredient we need to bear fruit in our lives. Now, what does that mean to bear fruit? That can mean, you know, you're going after growing in a certain area of your life. I want to experience more peace. I want to experience more patience. I want to experience more of you, God. I want to experience what it is to be truly a son. How do I get there? Is I become a friend with God. I become a friend with Jesus. That's what gets me to bear fruit. And I love what it says in the Passion. This is just verse 15. I have never called you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants, and servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate and cherished friends, for I revealed to you everything that I've heard from my Father. I call you my most intimate and cherished friends. We're not talking about an acquaintance here. We all have acquaintances. We all have had acquaintances, whether it's somebody you go to school with, it's just somebody you see in class for that one period, right? Or you go to work with, right? I have plenty of acquaintances, that people that I see from, you know, for the few moments that I'm at work before I go and deliver my packages, where people that are like, I know their name, I know what they look like, but I don't know nothing about them. I don't know who their family, I don't know anything about them. That's an acquaintance. And the unfortunate thing is that if we're not careful as believers, we will live in that space of people saying, hey, you know Jesus? Like, yeah, I know him. I know what he looks like, and I know what he wears, and I know some of what he believes. But yeah, I know him. And we live in this space of, oh, I'm an acquaintance with Jesus. I've rubbed shoulders with Jesus. I've sat next to him in class and you know, whatever. And I've shared a joke or a story with Jesus. But I actually don't actually know him as a friend, right? Do you guys remember being, when you were little, when you were younger, and you would go to a friend's house and for the first time got to see, like, their family life? I had a friend, my friend Ricky. He was one of my best friends in middle school, and he lived just a stone throw away from the school. So his house was the house to go to after school. And what I got to experience from Ricky in school was completely different than when I got to go in his home and got to, like, go and meet his family and hang out with him and, you know, eat food from his fridge and play his video games. And, you know, like, that's the friendship. Then we then became super, super close. Why? Because he let me into his life. He invited me in, and I accepted the invitation. Today, Jesus is saying, hey, children, I'm inviting you into friendship. Some of you have just been on the cusp of being my friend, and you've accepted me as Savior, and you said, yes, I've said the prayer, and I did the stuff, and I maybe cried up here at the altar, and I sang the songs, and I do my devotions, but you don't actually know me, and I want to invite you to be my friend. I want to invite you into my house. I want you to see what really burns in my heart. I want you to come and eat out of my fridge, right? Like, I want you to come in. Like, that's the invitation that Jesus has for you guys today. Again, yes, he is Savior, but there's a balance. We could have both. There is a balance that we could have where, yes, I recognize Jesus as my Savior. I recognize what he has done for me on the cross and what he continues to do for me on the cross. I can have that as well as, you're my friend, Jesus. So my first point is, true friends are faithful and dependable. There is almost nothing worse than a friend who you cannot depend on. Somebody who, you know those people, right? They're like, hey, I'll call you this week. They won't call, right? Hey, we'll meet up at so-and-so. Like, they're most likely going to cancel. Those people, right? We know those people, right? Maybe some of you are those people. I don't know. Some of you are convicted right now. I'm joking. No, but the thing is that is one of the worst feelings when you're trying to build relationship with somebody and you realize I can't depend on you. Like, when I call you, I feel like I'm surprised when you pick up, right? When I text you, like, I'm surprised when I get I have this friend, and this is just what my expectation for him getting back to me is way down here, right? I text him and it'll be like a month. I don't even remember what I text him about, and he'll respond to the text. And I'm like, what are we talking? Like, this was like 30 days ago. Why are you responding? Right? Like that type of friend is not a friend that you could depend on. Jesus is polar opposite of that. When Jesus says he's going to do something, he does it. When Jesus says that he's going to show up, he shows up. When he says that I am there for you, son, I am there for you, daughter, he's there. When you're praying, you say, Jesus, I this is my desire. This is my heart's desire. It may not happen right now, tomorrow, next week, but he's so faithful. He's so faithful. There's many verses about his faithfulness. I just picked one of them. And this is 2 Timothy 2:13 in the Passion. It says, but even if we are faithless, he will still be full of faith, for he never wavers in his faithfulness to us. He never wavers. This is the God we serve. This is the Jesus that we get to be friends with, the Jesus that never wavers. You may think like, oh, maybe this time Jesus is going to fail me, right? I brought it up before that there's a song by Elevation Worship and it says, how does it go? He never failed me yet. I hate that line. I hate it because it implies what? You haven't failed me yet, but you will. Not yet, but maybe down the road when I'm praying for something really important, right? And I get it. They're hearting the song and it rhymes and it sounds really good. And it's fine. I'm sure they don't believe God's going to fail them, right? But my point is it irks me inside because I know that the Jesus I serve, the Jesus I'm in a relationship will never fail me. There isn't a yet after it. It's like, Jesus, I pray. I come into communion with you. I come into to do life with you and you're there with me. When I ask for your presence, you're faithful to show up. When I ask for you to bless my city, you bless my city. When I ask you to bless my family, you bless my family. And this is why I'm so passionate about, when I pray, I don't ever pray with a hope. I pray with a faith. And there's a difference. Now, sometimes there's prayers where it's like, I hope this happens, okay? I get it. But most of the time, the prayers are like, I have faith because of who you are, Jesus, because of who you are. Like, you don't know how to not be faithful. You don't know how to not be faithful. I pray in such a way that when I'm praying for what I want to see God do, when I pray for Sunday mornings, I'm expectant that God's going to do it. Why? Because I'm his friend and he heard me. Right? When I pray for my family, I'm expecting that he's going to show up with them. When I pray for Monday nights for our youth ministry, same thing. When I'm praying for healing, when I'm praying for financial breakthrough, right? Like, the reason why I know that I know is because I'm in friendship with my Jesus. I'm in friendship with my Jesus. Jesus shows himself faithful even when we doubt. And this is the craziest thing. Now, we've talked about it many a times. Nancy and I took our kids down to Reading, had no plan. I would be lying to you if I told you that I did not doubt God. I would be lying to you. Thank God I have a wife who is full of faith all the time, no matter what. Because me, I'm like, yeah, sure, God will show up and will be provided for. Which sounds so stupid now, right? But and then when you're in the thick of it, right, and I'm going through it and I don't have money and I don't have rent and I don't have tuition, I don't have food in my cabinets and all these things, I'm just like, yeah, sure, God's going to show up. Let's see him show up, right? And he still did. Even when we're faithless, he is still full of faith. That's the friendship we have in Jesus. That we get to have in Jesus. The second thing is this. True friends create a safe space. And this is what I mean. True friends allow you to be you without calling out, maybe you look silly or maybe we've all been there, right? Where we feel insecure already, right? And a true friend will say, no, like, it's okay. You could be silly around me, right? Sorry, I'm going to use the example. My daughter, Skylie, you see her in service, and she's up here, she's singing to the Lord, and she seems so mature and so, like, whatever. She's one of the biggest nerds, right? And that comes out when she's around her true friends, right? When she's at home, when she has her friends over, right? You're like... like, that's not the cool, like, have it together, Skylie, that comes up. You know what I'm saying? But that's what a safe space creates, is I get to step in that. I could just be me. That's what we get to walk in. That's what we get to walk in when it comes to Jesus, right? Is that he allows us to be who we are. He creates a safe space. And this is what I mean. Around a true friend, you're not trying to impress them. Around a true friend in Jesus, I'm not in worship trying to get him. Do you see me, Jesus? Do you see how high I had my hands lifted? Did you see that? I actually lifted both hands. And when they did the stomp thing, I did that too, Jesus. Did you see that, Jesus? Right? Like, I was praying last night, God, and I got real loud. Did you hear me? That sounded real good, huh, Jesus? Sound real good, right? Jesus, I tithed last month. Did you see me tithe, Jesus? Right? Did you see me put it in? I went online and I was one of the techie people and I knew how to do that. Did you see that, Jesus? That was really cool of me, right? Like, no, Jesus creates a safe space. He's like, hey, you don't have to do anything for me to be impressed with you. Why? Because I'm impressed with you way before you do anything impressive. You being you is impressive to me. So yes, I want you to worship fervently. I want you to pray with due diligence. Yes, tithe, do all that stuff. But know that my love is not dependent on you doing the stuff. That's what friendship in Jesus is. You know a true friend won't judge you or hold it against you. Now that being said, true friends bring growth. True friends aren't afraid to call you out on your crap, okay? True friends aren't afraid to say, hey, I know you can be better than this. I'm not judging you, but I know who you are, and I know that you can be better than this. I had a friend, for those of us that are married, there are a few things, right, that I feel like are hard to get feedback on. One of those things is your parenting and your marriage. There's probably more. But it's very hard when somebody calls you out on one of those two things, right? Like, hey, I saw that, you know, maybe you need to adjust that. I had a friend who once I was good friends with them, married couple. And I just saw a moment where my friend wasn't treating his wife with honor. And I didn't like it. And it was, and I knew that that wasn't him. And so I waited, and later that week, I called him up and said, "Hey, I want to just chat about something to you." He's like, "Yeah, what's up?" I said, "Hey, like, I saw that moment with you and your wife, and I felt that you're better than that. You're a better husband than that." And that's a scary thing to do. Who am I? Like, that's not my wife, right? That's not my marriage. But I had an intimacy with this friend that I knew that he would want me to call him to a higher standard. Because I wasn't saying, "Hey, dude, you suck as a husband. Figure it out." I wasn't saying that. I was saying, "Hey, I know how good of a husband you are, and you can do better." That is what a good friend does. They bring growth. And the thing is Jesus is not afraid to bring growth. Let's read this part again. John 15:1-2. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Cutting off and pruning, that's painful, right? And we don't like that. But that is what coming into friendship with Jesus is like. He's able to see our life, say, "Great, you're doing amazing. Let's work on this area of your life," right? Like, let's actually work out. And this is the difference between just, I am acquaintance with Jesus, I worship him, and I'm just a sinner, and I'll just figure it out, and hopefully Jesus lets me into heaven one day, even though I'm just a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And Jesus is like, "No, I want to be your friend. And I want you, while you're on earth, to actually have this thing figured out. And I'm not afraid to call you on some stuff when we come into friendship. I'm not afraid to say, 'Hey, that isn't working. You could be a better spouse. You could be a better parent. You could be a better kid, right? You could be a better friend. You could be better at life.' I'm able to call you out because I'm your friend." This is what it looks like to have friendship in Jesus. We let him cut the dead stuff. It allows more room for growth. Amen. If we want to grow, which I believe all of us in here have a desire to grow, right? If you don't, I would really challenge you to start going on that journey of, what does it look like for me to grow? What does it look like for me to be, how do I get 1% better, right? Because yes, when you allow Jesus to cut off the stuff, to prune the stuff, it allows for more fruit to grow. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be very fruitful. I want to be fruitful in my life in everything that I do. But in order for me to do that, I have to allow Jesus to come in as a friend and start pruning some stuff. This is what it looks like to step from, "Jesus, you're just my Savior," to, "Jesus, you're my friend," right? Because when we receive him as just Savior, that's great. But sometimes what that does is all we hear is this commanding voice that says, you are so dirty and I don't want anything to do with you, and you're lucky I allow you in my presence. When we come into, "Jesus, you're my friend," then we're able to filter those things and filter who Jesus is in our lives and say, "Okay, Jesus, you're actually a friend, and the things that you're saying to me, even though they sometimes may hurt and be a little bit painful, that, Jesus, you mean well. And Jesus, you have such a desire for me." Do you have something to me, Mom?
Just reminding you too that he does it in love. He doesn't do it in judgment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's what I'll say, and I'll finish with this. Elena, you can come up and get ready to go. We all have the ability, every single one of us, every single young and old, have the ability to hear Jesus. Sometimes, if we're not tuned in to the right station, we'll hear something that we think is Jesus and actually isn't Jesus. How do you get to familiar with the tone of Jesus' voice? Is you talk to him a lot. You talk to him every day. And you might hear something and you're like, that doesn't sound like Jesus. that actually doesn't sound like, that doesn't actually sound like my friend Jesus.
So the Bible says that if we're afraid, because that's a scary thing, you know, that's a scary thing, saying, God, I want you to change me, because we're really comfortable with who we are. And sometimes that's scary, and sometimes we don't know who we're going to turn into, and we don't know how much God's going to hurt us, right? How much is he going to take away from me that I've grown so comfortable with? But the Bible says that if we're afraid, it's because we haven't experienced his perfect love. Okay? God loves you. He is not going to hurt you like that. And he is going to talk to you in a way that's going to get your attention, but it's also going to be loving, it's going to be comforting, and it's going to feel right. Because he knows you better than you know yourself, and he doesn't want to hurt you. He died for you because he loves you, and he wants to see you free. He wants to see you happy. He wants to see you in fellowship with him and confident in that love, you guys. Don't be afraid of God, okay? Be afraid of how amazing he is. Be afraid, be in awe. That's what that word means. When you fear the Lord, be in awe of the power that he holds, the transformation power, the resurrection power. Be afraid of how much he loves you and how much he loves you in a way that will tell you what's not for you. In a way like your mama or your daddy would get down on their knees, look you in the eyes, and say, baby, you're a good girl, you're a good boy, so you make good choices because you're good, and I see you, and I want you to be better, in that tone of voice. If your mom and dad said it to you any different, that's not the way that God talks to you. He comes down. He came down to be eye level with you. Okay?
That's so good. Here's what I want to do. Elena's going to lead us in a song she wrote, actually. And I believe that there's people in this room that you, one, have never received him as a savior, period. But two, if you have, you haven't actually been approaching him as a friend. And so what I want to do is I want to invite you up to the altar. And I want you just to take a space up here as we worship and just begin opening your heart to Jesus, be my friend. Okay? This isn't about anybody else in the room. It's about you and Jesus. All right? So let's worship.
The perfect bone.
For every person in this place, every person that's watching online or listens to this later, that we would truly walk into a friendship with you, Jesus. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you're with us, God. Yeah, Jesus, I just bless these people here today, God. I bless every home represented here. They would be a blessed home. Every marriage represented here would be a blessed marriage. Yeah, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we go, just a reminder, Matt, you can come up. We have a barbecue outside. Everybody's invited. It's free, and it's going to be good food. We'll be right here if you go down the stairs on the back deck here. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So please join us.
Thank you. Well said today. Awesome. A lot of you know about the GoFundMe page for the pastor's roof. It is misleading, you know, when you look at it, but I just want everyone to know that we are 25% of the way to our goal. You know, we do have donations that did not go through the page, but came directly to the church for the roof or to Mylon myself. Please feel free to pass that GoFundMe page to your friends and family, your employers, or whoever. You know, we still got a little ways to go, but we're getting there. And we're looking to get started in not this coming week, but the following week. So even if you can't, you know, donate your, you know, money or whatever, any help at all from getting up on the roof and helping to tear off, lay shingles down, cleaning up, being a cheerleader on the sideline. Any help at all would be awesome. So thank you.
Cool, cool. All right. Love you guys. Have a great week, and let's go eat.